don't know if it'll, I'm not really sure if it can ever be duplicated in the sense that, I mean, in one small area you have so many resources, the universities, the history of an area which is open-minded to change, open-minded to cultures. I mean, the whole 60s movement.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Sean Flynn. Sean is the host of the Silicon Valley podcast and an investment banker. And we probably spent 30 minutes talking before this. So I'm glad we finally got to record.
Thank you. Thank you for the intro. I think it was more like 40 minutes, but you know, who's counting?
So we were introduced by a mutual friend, which is Tim Allison from Screw the Naysayers podcast, which apparently he's mothballing. He's not going to keep doing.
No, he's modifying it. He's going to he said later in the year, he's going to do 1 hour live shows instead once a week. And okay. Going to go deeper and more in depth. I talked to him just the other day. He was on a panel of podcasters with me and he was saying how he just launched his 300th episode in 27 months.
Like, that's crazy. That's awesome. But it's like, he went all in on it. So I'm okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that because I've been trying to reach out to him. So Tim, we got to talk. but thank you for introducing us to Sean. So Sean, tell me about the Silicon Valley podcast and what you've been up to.
Okay. So the podcast started last September. Before that, I had a TV show in Mountain View. Mountain View is a city here in Silicon Valley where I'd interview entrepreneurs and the people that worked with them. And it grew as in 28 cities over about a year span. We did 46 episodes. But then it was one of those, well, we only have so much reach. How can we have a global audience? And with that, I was thinking, okay, podcast is the way to do it. So I took that show and I just turned it into a podcast. The guest I've had on this new podcast, the Silicon Valley podcast, have included Melody Perkins, co-founder of Canva, Jim McKelvey, co-founder of Square, Patrick Lee, co-founder of Rotten Tomatoes, a bunch of VCs and entrepreneurs here in Silicon Valley. And we really go deep. These episodes are normally about an hour in length where I really focus on their expertise and the information they can give entrepreneurs and action items that are implementable after the show ends. So I'm trying to create this information library for anyone in the world to have access to the global or the information here in Silicon Valley.
That's amazing. What's the response been?
It's been very good. In fact, I got an email the other day from a person in Kenya saying, you know, actually invited me to their WhatsApp Kenya entrepreneur group. And that was exciting. Okay. A few weeks before that, a person that had found me that was based in India asked me to do a live stream to their entrepreneur class, and it was really funny. There was 700 people on the live stream and they all got a certificate at the end of it, and I was like, wait, there's certificates for this live stream? I didn't know about this. Can I get one?
Yeah.
And it's been really good. We did have plans to do a couple of events live stream the end of this year in Cameroon in Africa. Hopefully that will still happen with the current pandemic. Who knows? But there is talk to do a couple of live stream events with local industry or entrepreneur leaders in different cities and me and some of the past guests here in Silicon Valley. So it's been amazing. I've really enjoyed it. And I really like the emails and the shout outs I'm getting on social media from these entrepreneurs saying, hey, thank you. I didn't have access to this information before. That past interview with, you know, Brett Chernow talking about financial modeling, or Bill Reckner talking about first meetings with venture capitalists, you know, really prepared me and given me things to think about. So I'm loving it. And because of that show, or because of my show and the people and the connections I've made, I was introduced to your show. So, I mean, that's just more proof of the, you know, how you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think as a podcaster, it's interesting. Definitely the people you meet are the most important thing and the stories that they tell. So I don't know what of your show. I mean, you're obviously getting access. First of all, the brand's great. So I think it connects with people, right, that are in that area. And then it's attractive to people outside. But like, what would you say is the most interesting thing that you've had, you know, story-wise as a result of the podcast?
Story-wise, I've had... So the best part about when you're interviewing people is when the mic turns off and they just start talking post-interview some of the stories. So for example, Patrick Lee, founder of Rotten Tomatoes, and I actually got this, I told him, I was like, wait, you have to say this story again and we have to somehow edit it in the interview. Because at the very end, I asked him, you know, after Rotten Tomatoes, you've done all this other stuff after, you know, do you got any things, any interesting stories? Like, well, you know, you've seen that movie, the Crazy Rich Asians. Turns out I knew the one lead actors from before. And when I was helping people do personal videos, blah, 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 long story short. Yeah, we were in, he went into the story about how he was with, he knew this one actor, I'm not going to say his name, who back in, I'm not sure if you remember this, early 2000s, all these Hong Kong actors were starting to do movies in the US.
Yeah.
And I guess what was happening was all like the triads and, you know, the Chinese mafia was going down to Hong Kong saying, you have to do these movies for us. And the actors there were saying, no, we don't want to. And so they were moving to the West and trying to do movies there. And one of the actors that said no, the mafia, like right then in the restaurant, killed the manager.
What?
Okay. And I'm listening to the story going, hold on, can we get this recorded? And he's like, okay. So if you actually listen to the episode with Patrick Lee, founder of Rotten Tomatoes, there's this one segment you're like, this has no place in this interview.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And it's crazy, that story though. But I mean, some of these people, like Jim McKelvey, co-founder Square, when I'm interviewing him, he's like, hold on, I gotta take this call. I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, oh, it's the Federal Reserve.
Oh my
God. I'm like, because he's on the board of St. Louis, the Federal Reserve. And it's just like random stuff like that. You're like, does this normally happen to people? Like, who are these guys?
Well,
like,
I think I can totally see that, because I think the one thing about Silicon Valley is it's almost like casual access to the extreme, right? Like, like I've been at, you know, up in that area and, you know, taking a company to somewhere like, I don't know, TVG or Shasta or whatever. And you're sitting at a Starbucks and guys like, okay, yeah, I'll put in 5 million. Will you put in 5 million? He goes, okay, that's good. Hey, how's your wife doing? And you're like, wait, what was just funded? Oh, that was, you know, Airbnb or something. Right. And I'm like, wait, was I really there for that?
That's another great story. So, there's an investment banker I interviewed and I asked him, I was like, tell me some stories of companies you miss. He's like, well, there was this one guy that sat across from me in Starbucks and he said, hey, I got this app where you can find cars on it to pick you up. And I said, that's the stupidest idea ever.
Travis Kalanick.
And he's just looking at the guy's face. You're like, so you'd be a billionaire now, wouldn't you?
Well, that's, I mean, how many people passed on that, right?
Oh God. Yeah. But you hear stories like that with these guys, just like, tell me the one company that got away, and they're like,
oh, it's gotta be so painful. Like, you'd have to, yeah, I can totally see it, because you're definitely, you know, they're making bets, right? They're betting on people, and you know, there's been mixed stuff from some of the founders that are out there, obviously, but that doesn't mean they're not gonna be successful, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, some of the craziest ideas are the ones that are these unicorns. Like, I mean, really, if you think about it, imagine that first pitch when someone goes, yeah, we're going to rent out strangers' homes to other strangers and they're going to use my website. Cause yeah. you know, it's like,
lack of better term.
Like, good luck with that one. Good luck with that.
Well, I think that what's even stranger about Airbnb is that it was like, oh, I'm sleeping on people's couches and that's why I need an app to find more couches. Wait, that's your business model? You know what? 100 million. Wait, 600 million. You know, it's kind of crazy when you see it. Like, but I think just the fact that there is a place in the world like where you're at is important. And I think people have tried to replicate it, but there's something in the DNA there. And I don't know if you get a glimpse of that, like because of the podcast or just
oh, yeah,
there. Like, what's so special about Silicon Valley?
I mean, there's no place else like this in the world. I've lived overseas for quite a number of years, China, Central America, Europe. I mean, you have this small little area where the smartest minds come to. I mean, it's, you're in a conversation and you just go around the group. It's like, okay, you have a PhD in electrical engineering, you have a PhD in mechanical engineering, you have a PhD and an MBA, you have an MBA and a lot. And who are you? Oh, I have this undergraduate degree. It's like, you know, you got the smartest people going to one area. You have, I mean, 40 years ago, it was so much government funded in this area.
Was there?
For the military. I mean, that's basically the history of Silicon Valley, was funding for the military in this area. But you've had 40 years of people with experience in investing, with risk takers. So you have money to take risk. You have the smartest people migrating here to build stuff. So instead of Hollywood or LA where you are, where they're like, I have this dream to make a movie. Right. It's no, I have this idea for this app.
It's crazy.
And then you have this area that's so expensive to live.
Now,
you have to push yourself every day to actually do something because you can't get lazy.
Right.
I mean, as bad as that sounds, how expensive it is, a little bit of me thinks that's a little bit of the reason it is so successful, is because you can't take a break. You can't rest.
Totally.
And then since you have so many universities here that are top ranked universities, I mean, we went back to the education, how elite, you know, PhDs, but you have people from all over the world coming here. So you have the top students from China, India, Europe, all migrating to UC Berkeley, Stanford, University of Santa Clara, St. Mary's, San Francisco State. There's so many universities in this small area.
Crazy.
And you're picking those top students to stick around to then work for Facebook, Google, that are getting these interns from their freshman year. With how things are going, I don't know if it'll, I'm not really sure if it can ever be duplicated, in the sense that, I mean, in one small area, you have so many resources, the universities, the history of an area, which is open-minded to change, open-minded to cultures. I mean, the whole 60s movement, and that actually is a really good foundation for innovation, for tech, which a lot of people don't give credit to. I mean, that whole idea of just expression and thought and imagination. But I think the whole world is changing. Mm. And what I mean by that is, with COVID, we're seeing the people that were here now fleeing. I mean, wow. I have quite a few buddies that every week I'll have one or two that are telling me, hey, you know, it's too expensive here. We can work from home. I'm just going to move in with either the wife's family in Kansas or my family over here, or, hey, I've always wanted to live in Florida, so I'm going to try that out. And with that, I mean, maybe Silicon Valley will still be the hub in some areas, but there could be individuals and remote pockets everywhere, especially branching out of this area. Because, I mean, really, if you think about it, the benefit of being here was you could just hopscotch from, you know, Google to Adobe to Fujitsu to every large corporation has some type of R&D facility mm-hmm. here. And if you're a startup, once you get your B round more or less, or, you know, your later stage, you're going to open up a research lab here. So, you know, all the engineers, scientists, and that would just drive around this small little area and take their knowledge and experience from one location to the other. And now it's going to be okay. Instead of logging in my Zoom chat with this password, now I'm logging in with this other one. So
interesting time.
They right? don't need to do this hour commute every morning.
So, and one of the things that, you know, I've been trying to get my head wrapped around and do is to launch, you know, I started Founders Pack, and we were supposed to launch that as a live series of events. That's really only a personal thing, though, in the sense that I'm good at throwing live events.
Yeah. And for anyone at home, he definitely is. I've been to two of his. Oh, the speakers he has, yeah. Freaking VIPs. Oh, man, they're awesome. Yeah.
Those have been really cool. So I think I got to get my head wrapped around doing the same thing for Founders Pack, which is would lead to online masterminds between founders, but also as an accelerator. Mm. So I think what you're saying is encouraging. I'm curious your feedback on what would make a successful accelerator in the sense of if it's just online, if there's no other component?
I mean, there are, in the past, there's been plenty of online accelerators. There's quite a few that have been very successful. And a lot of it has to do with the end goal in mind. Is it leading up to a presentation of potential corporate partners? Is it leading up to a demo day with online investors that, you know, have been curated and focused on that investment sector? Or is it geared towards hitting certain milestones in a certain amount of time? Or maybe it's you have a fund and you're just using it as deal screen and embed in for your portfolio. So once you have the end in mind, then you can really, you know, reverse engineer a pretty solid online accelerator. And I had a conversation the other day. There's a group here focused on cannabis. I'm not sure if you know of Canna Angels, but in fact, if you want someone on your show, Sherry, I can make an intro. She's the founder. She was talking about, because before she would prep the founders for presenting to the investors, but now that everything is going remote, it's, well, maybe we should do an online accelerator. And it's, okay, let's talk about the milestones, the goals, you know, is there going to be investment in these companies? What type of equity? Or is it just going to be for warrants at the end or at the beginning? Or who are the advisors and mentors that might give some free time or investment? Let's get that whole package together and then, you know, like kind of investment bank and go to market, pick the companies that, you know, fit the criteria the best. And, you know, first cohort, see how it goes. Second, you know, see how it goes. And hopefully on the fourth cohort, you're rolling.
So, and that's interesting. So I think we definitely want to see from the sounds of it is one, obviously you understand the end goal, which is, are these companies that are in a fund or are they, you know, is there some other, you know, way to participate in equity in them?
Oh, yeah.
And then your thought is, because I guess I'm debating in my head, like, is this something that we should be charging for or is it something that we need to have a fund for? Those are kind of two very different things, or both. I don't know.
I mean, there's definitely different ways. So I've organized a couple of accelerator programs for the Global Incubator and Accelerator Program that I had. And with that, the end goal in mind for a lot of it was these road trips to China where we'd help the companies set up their offices, make introductions to investors, the local government, and that. So we would prep them for, you know, 6 weeks to 3 months before, screening them down from, you know, 10 to maybe five to take, just going, okay, you need to hit these milestones. When you get there, this is, you know, what you might be able to negotiate, things like that. So, I mean, for that, the what we would give them was that trip to the end. If we screen them enough, they would give us a percentage of their company in exchange for all the hours and labor that we would give them. We did have sponsors for some others where there was some money that was invested. So, I mean, really, there's quite a few ways to go about organizing an accelerator where it benefits both parties. For you, I mean, you could get sponsors to pay for it. And that's those sponsors that are paying are actually really paying for your time to organize and coach it. And maybe there's some money for the companies. Maybe you're getting a percentage of the warrant. Sorry if there's a dog in the background. You could get warrants from each of the company that's in your accelerator program. That's a way to go about doing it. Or maybe they even give you a percentage, some shares for your coaching. There's I'm not sure if you've ever heard of the Angel Accelerator. It's a group out of, I believe it was Norway. They get 25 or so angel investors together. They have 100 companies that they screen with a venture capitalist coaching them for a week. And of those companies, you know, get dwindled down to that one that gets a check at the end. But they break it down. So this much percentage goes to the VC who's coaching everyone. This amount goes to the actual startup that wins the whole competition. And, you know, so the person run it, and then another percentage goes to the organization that put it all together. That's a revenue model.
Okay.
There's a ton of ways. If you want, I can keep talking, or we could go offline one day.
We can take it offline, but I'm curious because I know that you've been deeply involved in that, and you've had success, obviously, in that area of finding companies, putting together those programs. So I invite you to be on the advisory of Founders Pack.
Yeah. Let me know. I can help.
I love your guidance.
No, we'll make it successful. I mean, all it is put in a win-win together. That's really it. We just have to find that balance.
I love it. What are you excited about as far as stuff that's coming? Like,
oh man, that's such a loaded question.
I know there's so many, but like, if you were to pick one or two things that you think are really going to change the game, so to speak, and maybe a company or two that would be aligned with that.
Okay. Company, I don't want to say any names. The only reason why is because
no names.
I'm under FINRA and I don't like saying anything like that, but technology itself, and this changes with literally everyone I interview. So I'll interview someone that's an expert in this technology and then it'll blow my mind. And then I'll be totally, you know, enamored with that for a short amount of time. So the other day I interviewed this gentleman named Mark, who is a wearable IoT expert. And he was talking to me about, you know, the future of wearables, where it's, I mean, the technology is getting so advanced where, you know, you'll wake up in the morning and your watch will go, you know, hey, your right calf is a little strained. You should ice it later, and your blood sugar is down a tiny bit. Maybe you should eat two oranges today instead of your normal one. Your okay. sleep pattern was, you know, this, and it makes recommendations. And he's just going off about how
that's crazy.
We're at this point where with the pandemic that where, you know, telemedicine is finally being adopted, where you have that interview with the doctor, but you know, you have a shoulder problem, you know, the doctor can't physically touch your muscles. You know, he can't say this is tight here. Oh, there was that sound there. Okay. You only have this much range, but with the wearable, with the sensor, whether it's sewn into your clothes or that information can be automatically fed. That information is there for the doctor or there for the AI machine to give you instant feedback. Hey, you know, you're getting a little tighter than you were 6 months ago. Just try these stretches. Wow. If you do it this way, it will, you know, help you later on with this or that. And I mean, just that feedback loop cycle.
That's interesting.
It's crazy. But of course, then you have the extreme where, you know, all your data is out there. And I don't know, another thing that's extreme that's I'm kind of worried about is the whole digital currency, what it looks like we're going to. And I'm not sure if you want to go into that, but that could be a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah, I think that there's definitely it's going to be interesting to see what happens with distributed currencies. Like, will people opt out and go to something that is between groups? And I think that the problem is the volume and the acceptance, right? Obviously, there's things like Bitcoin, but there's a schmarmy aspect to that right now, like that people have jumped on. But the technology has potential. The question is, do you want everything to be digital currency through a central government where then they're trying to enforce behavior?
That's like what I'm worried about. Well, that's my biggest concern is when, you know, they could dictate this amount of money can be used for these types of products or hey, you've already had three drinks at the bar tonight. Yeah. Now we're cutting you off your digital currency and you're going, wait, what is this?
If you look at what's going on in China, like that's like a preview of how that works. Like everything is tied to your cell phone SIM. So when you have a SIM and you're not a good citizen or you're not having the right behavior, you can't get train tickets. You get a bonus of a bicycle rental. Like it's kind of crazy. Like, but you can see how totally that would, I mean, it's not going to be here the way it's going.
No, people will accept it and kind of demand it when it's advertises this allows us to get money and rebates to you quicker, and in that exchange they're gonna give up a lot that they don't know.
Well,
but it could, I mean, it'll have more efficiencies in some areas, so who knows.
Yeah, I think you highlight something that could be a bigger discussion. I'm happy to have that another time when we have more time, but I know that it's definitely got some, it's a problem. To pretend it's not. I mean, I think you can see right now that corporations are getting wagged by a small, how do you put it? the use of, it's almost like a religion, right? Mm-hmm. The use of guilt is, and you know, their want to do good, which is on the surface, you know, positive, but you're seeing a small, loud group of voices control corporations that are bizarre. And then you take that agenda to currency, like now you're controlling who deserves what based upon whose criteria and what criteria.
Yeah.
Like that's the opposite of freedom.
Yeah,
no, it's the opposite of what made Silicon Valley so successful. So,
oh, Silicon Valley will find a way to do whatever it wants.
Maybe.
That's the crazy thing. Even if they have to.
You would think that of corporations, but I think corporations right now are in a weird spot.
Yeah, weird spot, but the engineers here are quirky enough that even if they have to teleport all of Silicon Valley to remote Caribbean island.
You might have to. It's weird what's going on, but all right. Well, we don't want to go too hard on the rabbit hole. People think it's conspiracy theories, but I think there's obviously trends that seem to point to what you're suggesting. So it's kind of definitely something I invite you back to have this conversation specifically, maybe. That would be really interesting. If you want, I'm very open to collaborations right now. So if you ever want to do like a once every other month or a month conversation, please let me know. Because I think that we could, there's a lot of topics like this that you have insight on that would be great.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. You just let me know. And I mean, my calendar is open for you.
Wonderful. I really appreciate that. All right. So I want to be conscious of your time. I'm going to wrap with a couple quick things. First of all, is there anything that we haven't touched on that we should have touched on?
I mean, I just kind of want to get that message out there. You know, the Silicon Valley podcast, if you're looking for information here on, you know, tech, venture capitalists, entrepreneurs, where they share their wisdom, experience, please check out my podcast. And all my social media handles are Sean Flynn, S-H-A-W-N-F-L-Y-N-N. SV, so Sean Flynn, Silicon Valley, Sean Flynn SV. And if you're a later stage company looking to raise some funds or pre-IPO, wanting to sell shares on the secondary market, you know, reach out to me.
Wonderful. Okay, if you are the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with, who do you, Sean, spend the most time with?
Oh, God, right now it's Zoom. digital people.
Zoom is a person now.
Can my computer be three of those five?
Yeah, it sounds like me. Okay.
I honestly, I've been removed from human interaction now for way too long.
Wow.
My wife literally is the one I spend 90% of my time with. Other than that, you know, I got an investment banking buddy, a hypnosis buddy.
Oh, really? Okay.
We have to learn. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Great guy. Got to know him a couple of years ago. He helps a lot of the companies I know with their stories, their presentations, and just hilarious guy. And yeah,
that's a lot though. I think, and you know, it's funny cause I think people are discounting Zoom, but that's how I'm connecting with mostly everybody now. So yeah. I think it's just a way of our life.
It's gonna be. I mean, yeah, the whole like telecommunication. There's a off this call. There's one startup that I saw a demo last week that I'll introduce you to. That's Uber. It's got a Zoom-like meeting. That's pretty cool. It's basically a bar setting where every person's you know, their picture, but you walk around. And as you get closer to people, you can hear them. And when you move away, you don't hear them. So you can actually have an event where there's little side groups talking. And you can say, hey, let's go to the bar. And then you and your three buddies go to the bar and have a side conversation. There's VIP rooms. It's nuts. So
we're getting back to like the Sims and Leisure Suit Larry, it feels like. This is like going back way, way back. And if you're listening to this and you don't know what that is, you better look it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's cutting edge from like, what, 20, 30 years ago.
Well, man, it was when Flash was created.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. All great innovations on the internet are because of games or porn. So,
if you want some stories on that, I can introduce you to one of the OGs of Silicon Valley that was hard code that did the first analytics for a porn site here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm open to all these things.
He's got stories.
All right. So how are you, Sean, changing the world?
I'm just trying to package the information here and get it to anyone out there so they can fulfill their dreams. That's I'd like that to be my legacy, is that entrepreneur in Kenya or Nigeria or some you know, country that hasn't had some of the benefits some others had, just go, hey, thank you for that. And because of that, you know, we've thrived and gone past where we ever could imagine.
I love it. That's a great mission. The final thing is, when we have interesting people on the podcast, and you've mentioned a couple people you're going to introduce us to, we like you to introduce us to a future guest. We typically talk to experts, entrepreneurs, SaaS founders, you name it. So who would you, Sean, mainly like to nominate?
Well, I mean, I alluded to, as funny as it sounds, person that started the first cannabis angel investing group here in Silicon Valley. And I also alluded to someone that had worked in the doing analytics for the adult industry in Silicon Valley. I alluded to a hypnotist, an investment banker. So you just tell me which of those you want intros to.
Let's meet them all. So after the call, we will connect with all three of them and any other people. We're open to that. Those all sound very, very interesting. So I accept them.
Sounds good.
Sean, I want to acknowledge you for the work you're doing with Silicon Valley Podcast, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
Let's do it again. This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow Podcast. We will see you on a future episode of Automate and Grow.